So if you'll turn that up with me. Matthew 18, starting at verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church or ecclesia. But if he neglect to hear the ecclesia, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I also in the midst of them." So if we'll give our attention to Brother Pat.
Good morning, everyone. I think that Brother Virgil and Ernie gave this. I think they were in cahoots to give me this, since I'm a soul learner. To begin with, our ecclesial guide, if you don't have one, you need to get one and read it numerous times. On page 55, the commandments of Christ, that's 55 and 54. Number 20 says this: "In case of sin, known or heard of, speak not of it to others, but tell the offending brother of the matter between thee and him alone, with a view of recovery." Note, first of all, it said in case of sin, speak not of it to others. Keep it to yourself. Don't run and tell your buddy, or don't put it on Facebook, or send a text to ask for forgiveness. Don't start a rumor about someone, because we know what rumors do. They grow and grow, and finally they turn into a lie. Now this is further discussed in our Ecclesia Guide on pages 25 through 28. To start off with, disputes. There ought to be no murmurings or disputing among the brethren of Christ. This is forbidden. And it's talking about rumors and spreading rumors and things about your brethren. Keep it to yourself. Even though there are two sorts of differences that come between brethren, they are both related. One is an individual offense, and the other is ecclesial differences. Now, Christ has very plainly laid down the law for this. It was just read. And these are the curing of these disputes. And it must be obeyed. If a brother takes offense of what another brother says, he is then bound to meet with the other brother in private and discuss the matter alone between the two. No one else is to be involved. In most cases, it can be stopped there. And forgiveness, with a view of reconciliation. This is what must be done. Of course, there are many matters that are too trifling to be brought up with another brother. In other words, don't let yourself be so offended at what someone else says. And the man who recognizes the infirmity of our human nature will realize that we sometimes say things that we shouldn't say or that offend. So it goes both ways. But supposing the offense arise, which a brother cannot overlook, but which he feels is a barrier between the two, then he is bound to take this course that is indicated, that is, to go to that brother and explain it to him. Again, our ecclesia guy says, it is not at liberty for us to mention the matter to a third party. Now this is talked about a lot. Keep it to yourself and don't let anyone else be involved. If you do, either the one or the other, that is, if you go and let another party know of it before then you make yourself an offender also. You see? So you've got to keep it to yourself. A man who disobeys the commandment of Christ on one point is as much a transgressor as the man who disobeys it on another. There's everything to be said in favor of Christ's commandment in this matter. It is a humbling thing for the offender to go and see the man that has offended him. Or it should be. If he is too proud to submit to this, he is then self-condemned, for the proud are an abomination to the Lord. And it gives the offender the best chance that he could possibly have of making any amends in the case. The act of the offended brother in coming and seeing him has a conciliatory effect on him. And his personal presence gives him an opportunity to thoroughly discuss the matter and then hopefully to drop it and move on. Here again, it talks about the third party being involved. A communication through a third party, or worse still, is a letter that you write. Once you write something and put it down, then it's down from then on. This is no fulfillment of the law of Christ, to write a letter. And it offers no opportunity of reconciliation, because then others are aware of the situation. And it only aggravates and irritates the case. This should not be. A brother that refuses to listen to the merits of the case one way or the other, or to insist upon the offending seeing the offender, or if he refuses to disassociate themselves from his company. That's a hard saying. So, the plea that is of no use ought not to be entertained for one moment. Such an impression ought not to be made a reason for disobeying a plain commandment. Whether of use or of no use, an offended brother is bound to drop the quarrel or see the offending brother. One or the other. You have to do one or the other. Now, the next step, and it starts getting really serious, is to take two or three with you to the brother to try to help settle your problem. The offended brother is bound once more to take this step. Otherwise, he has become disobedient. But this is a thing that must be done. This is the second step. All right? If it succeeds, then you have your reward. If it fail, then he has the remedy, or you have the remedy. He is to bring the matter then before the whole ecclesia. The ecclesia is then to admonish the offender if he be bound in the fault. If the offender refuse to hear them, it is their duty to separate. We don't want this to happen, brothers and sisters. Let us forgive one another at the first step. Christ's rule must be insisted on. We read, our brother read it, the rule in Matthew 18. Verses 15 through 20. But if you look back at verse 14, it says, even so, it is not the will of our Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. We find that the will of God is that none of his brethren be lost. So, it is our duty to try to reconcile with a brother if we have a fault. We must follow Christ's rule. But in doing so, as we read in Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. When one has sinned or offended another, our goal is not to make the matter worse. And that's exactly what's going to happen if you tell somebody else. But our goal is to seek reconciliation and forgiveness with the hope of recovery. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Start at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's us. Let us do good. So we must first do what? We must first look at ourselves and examine ourselves, examine our own faults, and then we are able to approach another in the spirit of meekness. Remember this, a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir anger. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In James, chapter 3, we read, start at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It's a very hard thing. Keep your mouth shut. It's always been extra hard for me. We all say things that we wish we wouldn't have said. We wish we could just reach out and grab it and stick it back in our mouth. But it's too late. Too late. It's been spoken. It's been done. The damage has been done. So what is our recourse? If you realize you have said something wrong, apologize immediately. Then the problem is stopped. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. If we say anything about another person, let it be something good, that we also may have a good report. Let's see. Ephesians 4. Start at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication, or you could say doctrine, let no corrupt doctrine proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, or that which is truth, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Thank you.